League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Let's begin.
This is the Boss.
I'm the Boss.
And the Gloss.
Check out my lip gloss. I only rock clear.
On SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Here are your hosts, David Gao and Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my pocket.
So looking back at Nashville and the week it was with the NFL draft, there were several best ofs during that week. Were there?
Yes,
not?
There were. Oh, my goodness, yes.
Best hug of the week.
Nick Bosa.
Nick Bosa.
To Roger Goodell.
To Roger Goodell. Yeah, I thought it was the hug that you gave to, well, let's see, Josh Jacobs when he was drafted by the Raiders.
Yes.
It was pretty emphatic.
I mean, you know what?
A warm embrace. But we'll go with Nick Bosa and Roger Goodell. Nick did hug him.
Dreaming
and
now.
On.
Thank you. He did. That
you
was
were
a great
dreaming.
One.
Josh, of course, we saw him up close. He was in the press conference.
Wasn't he impressive?
He's a well spoken guy.
Very well spoken, very appreciative. I just thought very mature.
So the second best of, well, we know for years fans always boo Roger Goodell at the draft, right? It always seems that a lot of people want to take him out. And it seemed that one player really did try to
literally
take him out. Yeah, Christian Wilkins.
Clemson. I mean,
he just came barreling onto Goodell. It was a great moment. Goodell handled it, actually, I think, pretty well.
He did.
Maybe
and that is a big dude.
I mean, we're talking one of the biggest players in the draft.
Oh, absolutely.
And he threw himself full frontal into Roger Goodell. And then we've got best soulmate from the NFL draft week.
Yes, this was
the moment for those who weren't listening. We got Tom Flores, the legendary head coach, the potential Hall of Famer of the Oakland Raiders, on the air with Carla Dawson. And there was a little bit of bonding, a little love exchange.
We really did bond, I'm going to say it.
It was almost over the top. I felt like the third guy in the room. I noticed you were getting all red and
I know. I think I was having a hot flash during that conversation.
It was something happening. And at the end of it, Tom Flores turned to you and said, Carla, you're my best soulmate.
I know. He said, I think we're soulmates. So
there it is, the three best of the week.
I came up from Nashville with a soulmate.
The best
Woo!
Hug of the week, the best attempt to take out Roger Goodell, and the best soulmate for the Gloss. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, when we return, we're going to talk to Kurt Heelan of ProBasketballTalk.com. We'll get his insights on the Rockets Warriors and the role of the officiating. When we return, Kurt Heelan of Pro Basketball Talk.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Well, joining us now on SB Nation Radio is Kurt Heelan. He is from ProBasketballTalk.com. Kurt, thanks so much for joining us. You're on with David and Carla.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
So there is so much to talk about now after the playoff series that are underway. Let's start in the Western Conference. Did you think that the referees deserved all the criticism they got from the Rockets?
No. Now, first off, I mean, we could get into the details of this. There were certainly missed calls. But look, this happens pretty much every playoffs, right? Like, if you're Houston in particular and you rely on getting calls, you rely on getting to the foul line a lot for James Harden and your guys, you're going to manipulate the refs after every game. Like this, Phil Jackson used to do this. I'm sure Red Auerbach used to do this. But like Phil Jackson did it. Every coach does this. Steve Kerr does this. I mean, they sent tape last series about how some of the calls going down. This is what happens. You don't like the calls you get. You want better officiating. You want it officiated a certain way that favors you. So you make a huge stink, and then the fans buy in like, yeah, our guys were robbed. But no, your guys missed 33 threes. That's why you lost. Like, that's not why they lost the game. But in a tight series, those little calls will matter at some point, and they're just trying to bend things their way a little bit.
You know, Kurt, I agree with you, because when I'm hearing all this, you know, we're here in Houston, and it frustrates me that the Rockets are resorting to this, because they are talented enough to really challenge the reigning champs. They really are, and they could pull it out in seven games. They almost did last year. When I saw today that the Rockets released their own audit for last year's Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals, I thought, no, come on, let me tell you why you lost that game. It's called 27 consecutive missed threes.
Exactly.
And if they really...
And Chris Paul being out.
With Chris Paul being out, and if the Golden State Warriors didn't audit, they could look at the three calls that Klay Thompson got in the first 2 minutes of that game. So in quarter one in the Toyota Center. But what I want to ask you, with all this, I mean, it's nonstop talk today. What do you see happening with the officiating in game two?
That's going to be really interesting. A, I'm curious, you know, who ultimately gets signed, but I'm sure the league already knows that. I don't know that we do yet. But my guess is, it's going to be really tight because the emotions are high. This is in big games where emotions are high and you win them. You know, this is clearly a rivalry team. This will be their 13th meeting in a calendar year. Like, they went 7 last time. Their regular seasons were into this. That's a lot of games between teams. When emotions are that high, the league tends to put somebody in who will crack down, who just calls everything. Both ways, and makes everybody play off. My guess is that's what's going to happen, but who knows?
Gosh, 45 fouls in game one. I cannot imagine. What I do love, Kurt, and I'd love to get your opinion on this if you think this is right. I thought Draymond Green, you know, not always handles things well, but he handled the presser yesterterday beautifully when asked about the fouls, and he said, hey, officiating is an inexact science. We're dealing with humans here. It happens in, you know, it happens in every sport. Do you believe that? And did you like that answer? I mean, I was impressed, but what do you think? You're the expert.
It's funny. I actually led my officiating story overnight with it. Yeah, but that very line, or like that is, or not, our three things, the note from last night, that was the note on officiating that I led with, because I believe that's true. Look, if the Warriors don't like the calls they get in game two, that is not how Draymond Green will respond. That was
correct.
That was how the guy who won the game gets to respond. But that said, it is, and I think that is part of what we like, right? We, in a world where reality shows are scripted, like what's great about sports is that it's unscripted, and we really don't know. And Duke isn't going to win the national championship. It's going to be the team that, you know, got bounced in the first round last year, because you just never know. And that's part of fun of this, is that, you know, we don't know what's going to happen in game two. We don't know, you know, how the players are going to respond and how the teams are going to respond. I think for both coaches, and the Rockets in particular, for Mike D'Antoni, and he knows this and they know this, they can't get locked into their own mythology. They can't get this to become the thing. At the end of the day, they've got to move on and make shots. And the fans can talk about it for days, but they have got to play better next game, or it won't matter.
We're talking to Kurt Heelan. He is the lead NBA writer of NBC Sports. You can read him on Pro Football. Check that, probasketballtalk.com.
Hey, if they want to put me in Pro Basketball Talk and give me some of that Florio money.
Hey, yeah, that's
exactly
right. We all want that Florio money. So let me go back to it. It was fun to see Steve Kerr talk about or flop a reporter, and then Daryl Morey send the quote back that Steve Kerr has complained about refs in his past, too. It does feel like there's a real rivalry developing between these two teams. The intensity of this rivalry, there's a lot at stake, and they both feel it.
There is, and I think that this is something that will continue on. Look, rivalries are made in the postseason. You can't manufacture them. The easy example in the NBA right now is there's actually no Laker-Clipper rivalry, really. I mean, they share a building, they share a city. I think the Knicks and the Nets are that way.
Yep.
Like, they share a city, but not really. Like, there's no intensity there. You have to face off in a series. You have to play in the playoffs with something really on the line before that intensity comes up. That's coming here. And the league needs that. I think every sport needs that. It's more fun when, you know, Alabama and Auburn are playing football, or, you know, name your rivalry, and you're getting Yankees, Red Sox, whatever it is. The NBA needs those. The Lakers and Celtics aren't meeting in the finals for a couple of years, probably. So like, this is a good one. This is one that's starting to genuinely build up. And whatever happens with Golden State this summer, Golden State's still going to be really good next year. Like, we may get this series again next year one way or another.
You bet. We're talking to Kurt Helin of ProBasketballTalk.com. Let's shift gears to the Eastern Conference. So Paul Pierce says the series is over. A little premature, perhaps, but the Celtics looked really good. What did you think was the key to shutting down the Greek Freak, or at least limiting his ability to influence the game?
I actually picked Boston in this series because they actually just match up. I think they match up well, and it starts with Al Horford, right? I mean, he was phenomenal in that game. He's not the best player on that team. He's the most important player, though. He has got to be good. He really has to be good on both ends, but defensively, he just causes the Greek Freak more problems because of his size, because of his athleticism, can cause him more problems than most. And I didn't really go to it much yesterday. If things get weird, expect Semi Ojeleye to get a bunch of time because statistically he does really well against Antetokounmpo for reasons nobody really understands. But like, yeah, they've got it in the books. If you can slow him, if you can just do what they did, I mean, I think he'll be better in game two than he was in game one. But if you can make him work, if you can make him less efficient, then everything else comes up. And I think the real key, I mean, he got some points, but the real key was he only had two assists. They really, you know, they did everything they wanted to do to him, and nobody else was getting buckets off of his drives and kicks. If that's not happening, then they're not as effective.
So one interesting observation, I mean, the Celtics in the playoffs do seem like a different team than they were in the regular season. I mean, they won five in a row. What's been the, I mean, it's the old axiom as well, you can't just light the switch when you enter the playoffs, but it would seem almost like they have. What's the difference?
I think they had the advantage in the first round because they were the favorites going into the season, right? We were like, well, up there in the finals against Golden State. It's going to be Boston and Golden State. And this was a team we thought would be really good. It took them a lot longer to mesh than we expected. That said, the pieces are really there for guys to, if guys are willing to accept their roles, and I think guys are just more willing to do that in the playoffs. A lot of the tension got worked out. And then they had this advantage. They get a good Indiana team, but without Victor Oladipo. How can I put this? A team that can push them around a little, but isn't an actual threat for them to get their groove on. Like, hey, we can find our rhythm against these guys and then take it into a good matchup for us because they match up pretty well here. I think that it all kind of came together for them in a game. I think the real question for them right now is when tension hits, whether it's this round or whether it's, you know, next round against, you know, Toronto or whoever, when they're pushed, are they still this good? And I mean, like, good in the locker room, good with each other, or does the finger pointing start and all that other stuff come back? We'll find out when they go under pressure, whether it's from the Bucks or in the next round. But right now, when everything's doing great, you know, it's they're singing kumbaya.
And do you think, Kurt, that there's any difference? I think Malcolm Brogdon is set to come back game three. Is that going to How is that going to affect this series in your mind?
That's a big get back for Milwaukee. It'll be huge for them on a couple of levels. He's not a lockdown individual defender, but he's a good team defender who fits their system. But he's also, not only can he hit, catch and shoot threes, which gives them, you know, they don't have enough shooters, but they've got more shooting with him. But he's also a guy who's kind of a secondary playmaker for them. The ball swings out to him, and he puts the ball on the floor and drives, and other things happen. They miss that. They miss him a lot in this series. I mean, he's their third or fourth best player, depending on, you know, how you want to count things out. But he plays kind of a critical role for them, and I expect him coming back later in the series will really be a boost for them. If they need to win game two without him, or that hill may be too big even with Brogdon.
Yeah, his role reminds me a lot of Andre Iguodala with Golden State and missing him last year. In the Western Conference Finals, he didn't come back until Game 3 or 4. It was pivotal, and people don't talk about it because he's not the first, second, or third option, but he does make a lot of things happen, which is good. So looking at the Toronto series, Toronto had a really easy time with the 76ers. Kawhi, 45 points. Is he the most important guy on the Raptors, the most important piece? And do you think, if they end up going deep in the playoffs, is he in Toronto to stay?
The first part of that is, yes, he's their best player. He's the most important player. Like, they gave up DeMar DeRozan and Pirtle and a pick. Like, they gave up a lot, right? because not only did they need to make a change if they were really going to advance, something had to, they had to make some sort of shift. But this was a chance to get a guy who, when he's, looks healthy and on the court like he is now, he's a top five guy. This is a guy who can close out big games. He's, this is a team, obviously, in Toronto that has struggled in some big moments. Kawhi Leonard would be more than happy to show you his finals MVP trophy. And he's done this before. Mm-hmm. He's been on that stage. We saw it in game one. He is critical for everything that they do on both ends, too. I mean, it gives them, him with Pascal Siakam, give a lot of guys that they can throw at. Look, Jimmy Butler's hot, Ben Simmons hot, whatever, whoever it is, they match up well in this series, and they can keep throwing different guys at, whatever Sixer seems to be having a good game. So he's critical for them. The second part of that, whether he stays, who knows? Honestly, mm-hmm. It's like reading a mime. He's just, I don't know. There is certainly a chance. I think there's a sense around the league that if they make the finals in particular, I picked them to, which is probably a strike against them, but like a lot of people have picked them to go, if they make the finals, then he might stay, but nobody really knows. And he doesn't talk, and the people around him are not the most reliable. Right. It's just hard to get reliable info. So who knows what he's really thinking and what he's going to do. I would say the sense around the league is he will be a Raptor, especially if they make the finals, or if he's gone, he's a Clipper. That's kind of where it's at.
He's Kurt Heelan. You can read him on probasketballtalk.com. Kurt, thanks so much for joining us. Really great insights.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Will you do me a favor, Carla?
Always.
Think O'Reilly
Auto
Parts.
Look how compliant your employee is.
I appreciate that. I just need you to think about O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. You can get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Check.
You got it.
Got
all right,
it.
Good. Well, here's a check. It's always interesting when, of course, a player is drafted in the NFL and the first round. Teams have an opportunity to exercise a fifth year in their contract and keep them for that fifth year before they can hit the market. And so we are sitting in a moment where we can look back at the guys who've just been exercised out of the class of 2016. And teams get to exercise the fifth year option at this point on those first round draft picks. What was notable to me when you look back at that class is it was a very good,
it's a strong
class.
Draft.
Yes, because really, if a team is exercising, the exercise of the fifth-year option is almost a referendum on whether you made a good pick. If you made a good pick, of course you're going to extend for that fifth year or sign a kid to a big long-term extension. But look at the names in that class. Some of the guys who have already been extended include number one overall pick Jared Goff, number three Joey Bosa, of course number four Ezekiel Elliott, number five, Jalen Ramsey. Number six, Ronnie Stanley. Number seven, DeForest Buckner.
Wow.
Those are all big names, and that's six out of the top 10 extended already. So that
even
was
Laramie Tunsil.
Laramie.
The draft day spectacle.
Yes. Well,
hey, he played to his contract. Good for him.
Everybody thought he had the talent to go top five, top seven, and he slipped into the teens because of that strange video. You talk about
the bong pick.
The bong pick. I mean, it's just amazing what comes out on draft night.
This is
right?
Why you don't want that hookah pick from Nashville going viral. Boss.
Well, that hookah pick, I don't know what. I have no concern about my hookah history. It's your hookah history we're all worried about.
No, we are not worried.
We went
about
into the hookah bar in Nashville. It was an honoring of Chris Johnson. There was a lot of smoke in there.
A lot of smoke.
And I went over to the bar
smoke
to get a drink.
Mirrors.
I went over to the bar to get a drink, and all of a sudden, you disappeared into the smoke. I don't know where you went. I don't know what happened.
It was engulfing me against my will.
And then later, you just emerged like a vision through the smoke.
It's like a transfiguration in the hookah lounge.
The gloss came out of the hookah lounge.
Strange things going on in Nashville.
This is based on a true story.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Sort of.
All right. I'll tell you one other amazing thing about the draft and news that made people slip. So Tunsil slipped for the bong pick. Montez Sweat slipped because of concerns about his heart condition. I think that he rounds out or makes the – I mean, he slipped. The Redskins were able to come back up and get him. I think he gives the Redskins a very good draft. And I want to highlight, when we look at teams and teams that drafted well, I think I've got to give a little shout-out to the Redskins. And I'm not inclined to do so. I'm a longstanding Cowboys fan. I hate the Redskins. But they got Dwayne Haskins at 15.
Which, that was shocking. I can't believe he was there at 15.
He may be the best quarterback in this draft.
He's my top choice for quarterback.
He's your top quarterback. Then they traded back into the first round when Montez Sweat was slipping. Sweat is a guy who's a physical freak. He's a specimen.
Oh, my goodness,
he was, should have been a top five pick, and they were able to get him late first round because of this apparent heart condition. But now I believe that he's just fine, and the Redskins have gotten themselves a steal.
Well, that was interesting because we were there at the combine, yep. David, and in the media tent right before the first round started, you know, the ticker's going across, and it says that Montez Sweat's heart condition may have been misdiagnosed at the combine. I thought it was an interesting timing. I mean, literally, this is moments before pick number one is going.
And Tunsil's bong pick was just a misinterpretation of the facts.
Right.
It wasn't
exactly real.
No, but that is very odd, right? It's what led to the slip. It's almost like if I were the Redskins, I would have planted the story that he has a bad heart condition to enable him to fall.
I mean, you called it lion season. But, you know, listen, I hope that that is true. You do not want anybody to have a heart condition, and someone that young, that talented, out of Mississippi State, you know what? You want him to have a good career, and good for him if he, you know, I hope it was misdiagnosed if that's really the case. But then Washington, the Redskins also picked up my favorite, should have been Heisman winner, running back Bryce Love out of Stanford.
Yeah, his junior year, you really saw him as the Heisman winner that year.
I did.
He deserved a lot of consideration, had an extraordinary season, and then now he suffered injuries. He is recovering from an ACL, which led to his slip.
Mm-hmm.
But he is.
But he is recovered. He has recovered.
Well, and he's ready. As Lance Erline said earlier, ACLs are injuries from which people recover every year, and they come back to play at a very, very high level. There's every reason to believe that Bryce Love can perform at the same level that he did his near Heisman winning season. So if you believe that, he was in the consideration, said he was being compared to a Christian McCaffrey during that window. This is an extraordinary talent to add to the Redskins.
So the Redskins need a lot of positions, and I think you're right. I love that you pointed out what a nice draft they've had. I think they've quietly just started picking them up. Really, really nice players.
All right, the clock is ticking on Tyreek Hill.
Oh, boy.
How much longer will he be a member of the Chiefs?
Nothing. He won't make it through the week.
I mean, I don't even understand why this has not yet taken place.
It's baffling.
What's going on in Kansas City? I mean,
what is going on in Kansas City? Which is so surprising because you look at Andy Reid, who is a quarterback whisperer, a football genius, like football nerdy in the best sense of the word.
Part man, part walrus.
Right.
I mean, he's got that look.
Well, gosh, I hadn't thought about that. But he just does not seem like kind of the gunslinger that would be like, yeah, bring him on no matter what. But you've got Kareem Hunt, who's now gone. And with interesting, though, now that I'm saying this, John Dorsey was the GM there in Kansas City.
And drafted Kareem Hunt.
And Tyreek Hill.
Yep.
And Tyreek Hill slipped. He was a steal in the fifth round because he had these same type of issues for what we're dealing with now.
Yeah.
And then they brought in Frank Clark from Seattle that's got a history as well.
Well, and that not under Dorsey's watch, of course.
Right, that's not under Dorsey's.
But yes, they've taken some swings on players, and now they got some swings and misses. Hunt, of course, is now going over to the Browns. But Tyreek Hill will be out of the NFL imminently. Frank Clark, he has, their character concerns, and now he's been picked up. They traded for him with Seattle.
They did, and he's an outstanding player.
No doubt he will shape up that defense. They lost D4. They can slide Frank Clark in. He's that pass-rushing defensive end that they desperately needed.
Mm-hmm.
And they are really working on revamping that defense. They put in Tyrone Mathieu, the Honey Badger has...
Oh, don't remind me.
He has joined Bummer that defensive the front. Yeah, or the backfield. So,
but that was Kansas City's. If they had a weak spot, that was it, was their defense.
No doubt.
And they lost Dee Ford. They lost Justin Houston. They lost some pieces that they had to replace. So,
all right, when we come back, it will be our He Said, She Said segment. We'll take a look at what sports luminaries said during the week, and we'll offer our own perspectives here on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, let's dive into our He Said, She Said segment. We'll take a look at what sports luminaries said during the course of the week. We'll offer our own commentary on them. And let's begin with Steve Smith and his really over-the-top attack of Josh Rosen. It was something that aired on the NFL Network. Let's take a moment and listen to Steve Smith come after Josh Rosen.
Every team is drafted. We got six rounds in the next couple of days. Guys are getting replaced. You are replaceable. No one, they say in the league, the more you can do, it helps your opportunity. So now you're mad because they brought some competition in here, so you're going to try to take your ball? Well, first of all, son, it ain't your damn ball to take anyway. So you just keep playing with your phone, and you keep showing us what the stigma of you and who you were was in at UCLA. Now you brought it to the professional level to show us you're still going to, when things don't go your way, you're going to cry in the corner. But guess what? They're going to ship your ass on somewhere else, and you can go cry and be their problem.
Wow.
Ooh.
I mean, that's over the top. Did it strike you as too much?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I mean, that's Steve Smith. I mean, he's very, you know, he speaks his mind.
Yep.
But I'll tell you what I really think it rolls back to is the perception that Josh Rosen came into the league with, which was entitled,
yep,
you know, polarizing and a little bit spoiled brat-ish.
They called him a little prickly. Was, yeah. Common wisdom then.
But you look at, you know, he came, you look how he came into UCLA, you know, freshman year, he has a blow up hot tub in his room and he posts on Instagram with some hottie and has, you know, you're not allowed to have that in your room, whatever.
Hey, come on.
But so that's where I think he is. I think this is the built up perception that he came into the NFL and being petty and, you know, unfollowing the Cardinals as soon as Kyler Murray is drafted.
And now he was supposedly pouting that Kyler Murray was coming to take his ball. And,
yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Well, that's the backstory. I thought it was a pretty aggressive, over-the-top positioning of Steve Smith. But let's take a look next at what Rosen did. On his way out of Phoenix, he posted this video as his goodbye to Phoenix.
Hey, everyone. I just wanted to say a couple things after everything that just happened. Cardinals fans, thank you so much for all of the continued support this past year. I know we didn't win as many games as we all would have hoped, but I had an unbelievable time in the desert. Unfortunately, my time here is coming to an end, but you guys are really getting a hell of a player in Kyler Murray, and he's going to do great things for the Red Sea. Kyler, I just want to congratulate you and your family on getting drafted. Arizona is a really special place, and you're going to love playing and living here. And Miami, I couldn't be more excited to become a Dolphin. I'm ready to attack this new chapter in my life and give you guys everything I have each and every day. My bags are packed, and I'm on a flight first thing tomorrow morning. So get ready, South Florida, and go Fins. And Kyler, one more thing. An awesome two-bedroom in Old Town just came onto the market. So let me know if you're interested, and I think I can get you a pretty good deal.
See, now that's a classy video on the way out of town.
It is a classy video. It's a PR move. You know, I have to say, when I first saw it, I was like, good for him. And I even said that earlier in the show. But you know what? Hey, that's what he needs to do. And I think Steve Smith was saying, you know, dude, the perception when you came in here in the league wasn't good. And it looks like you're shying away from the competition. Instead of like putting your tail between the legs and going, well, they brought in another quarterback. Say, fight me for it. Let's do this. And obviously, it wasn't his choice to not have that situation, but compete for it. Be a bring it on type of guy. Not a, you know, entitled little, I want to be the star just all by myself. I think that's where it came from. But I think, you know what? I'm impressed with how Josh Rosen handled it. And whether it was a PR move or not, he did it and he put it out there and good for him. Start fresh.
All right, let's move to the next one. The Ravens drafted Trace McSorley, the quarterback out of Penn State. and Jim Harbaugh of the Ravens appeared on Yahoo Sports Explain, well, that they may even use three quarterbacks in a play. Let's hear what Jim Harbaugh had to say about Trace McSorley.
Do you envision Trace doing more than just obviously flinging the football in case others might falter?
That's exactly right. I think Peter hit it right in the head. You know, he's going to be a quarterback for us first. We had him in here for a workout. He threw the ball really, really well. We were very impressed. He's very mobile. He runs an offense that has a lot of the elements that we're going to be involved with here. But not just that. I mean, I guess we could put three quarterbacks on the field at one time if we wanted to. You know, RG3's got some ability too. So we're excited about that, but also the special teams part of it, because when you've got a guy that's in a role that could play for you, you kind of want him on the field. If you're going to give him a helmet, you want him on the field contributing. So, you know, Trace can definitely do that. I talked to him a couple of times about that. He's fired up about the role. Just when he got the call, you could see the emotion. I mean, all these guys, it's just really a great moment. I think it's part of the drama that you guys bring out so well. You know, this is a moment in life. This is an end. It's a beginning. It's an accomplishment. And the fans get to see it. To see it in Trace and all the other guys, you know, it kind of, I don't know. It's why we do this.
Well, it would be fun to see Trace McSorley line up as a slot receiver.
And that's what I'm thinking.
Yes. I mean, he's very athletic. He's savvy. He's bright. He sees the field.
He understands routes.
Yeah, let him run an option route downfield. He'll read the coverage he's going. He'll know where to go.
That's a good translation from quarterback to receiver, especially slot. And you know what? He's a Harbaugh. Of course, he's going to say something like, oh, I might have three quarterbacks on the field at the same time. But yeah, you could do some fun things with Trace McSorley. He's a great athlete. And I love how John Harbaugh brought it all back to, did you see him when he got that call? I mean, these are game-changing. These are life-changing phone calls. When you have your name called in rounds 1 through 6 in the NFL draft, oh my goodness. It is, I don't think there's ever a moment like it. So, and I love that he pointed that out. That's a really special thing.
Yeah. All right, back to viral stories from the draft.
Oh, my gosh, this is hilarious.
Well, this is a bachelorette party in Nashville, a bachelorette party that went bad, apparently was ruined when the women of the party failed to realize that this was the draft going on at the same time. And, you know, there were hundreds of thousands of people in Nashville for the
draft.
Yeah,
we were there.
So the bachelorette party at risk. Let's hear what happened.
It just changes, like, the crowd, like, what you're here for. Like, I don't want to hang out with a bunch of football guys. No. Like, I'm good. I already have to watch football on Sundays.
And did you realize that the NFL draft was going to be here?
No.
No idea. Like, mind blown when we landed.
We had no idea.
No idea.
No idea.
When did I start planning the draft? Because I feel like I just found out about this.
I found out 3 days ago, and it made me want to cry.
We had to get dropped off early and walk the rest of the way.
The person that's going to pay for this is my husband when I refuse to watch football the entire season. Like, the worst.
Now, Jose, I think you could offer some helpful commentary here. These women who didn't know when the draft was, they didn't know that it was taking place in Nashville, they don't like to watch football on Sunday. These women, they're no Carla Dawson.
Oh, no. They're the polar opposite of Carla Dawson.
The other end of the spectrum.
You know, I can be friends with pretty much anybody, but that bachelorette party, we can't be friends. I was in this hundreds of thousands of draft crazed people. And obviously, I mean, Our Lads is my Bible. I go to sleep with underneath my pillow, for goodness sakes. The one that said, the one who's really going to suffer is my husband. I'm not going to watch football with him. I was like, oh, sister, he may leave you at the altar now. What are you saying?
Yeah, that marriage is off to
That's
a bad
not good.
Start.
That's not good.
Well, good to hear that from the gloss, Jose.
It sure is. Now, but the thing that I wonder is, you're in this whole atmosphere, right? It's
right.
Nashville. This atmosphere is there regardless.
It's like, electric, right?
It couldn't have been that bad, right?
It's not bad. It just was, it was hopping.
It was hopping.
In the middle of the day. It was like the French Quarter in New Orleans. It was insane. And, you know, it is like the bachelorette capital of the world. I know. But we saw, remember, we saw some ladies dancing in the bar, and we're like, oh, what kind of moves is she putting on?
And they
on
were
there?
Even wearing their shirts.
Yes, they were.
There was a lot of dancing going on in the bar. All right, let's go to the next one. This comes, well, it's Pat McAfee. He's a friend of our show.
He is a friend of our show.
Former
we
punter.
We heart him.
Yeah,
yes, he's
former
great.
Punter for the Colts, and he joined us at Radio Row. And he was really one of the hits of the draft. He came out to announce the pick for the Colts. Let's hear from Pat McAfee.
Please welcome from West McAfee. Virginia University, 2014 Colts Man of the Year and two-time Pro Bowler.
We have a seven-second delay.
He's Man of America, not Man of the Year. He's Man
Hello,
of America.
Hello, Nashville. I'm not going to say a single word about the Tennessee Titans record against the Indianapolis Colts because I was a punter, and there's no reason for me to talk about that. With that being said, we did not punt much against the Tennessee Titans, so you probably have no clue who I am to begin. 2 years ago, when I retired from the Colts, I retired alongside two greats, Robert Mathis and Joe Wrights. A couple months later, I watched the draft. Robert Mathis announced the pick, Joe Wrights announced the pick, and then an orangutan announced the fourth-round draft pick. I was replaced by a zoo animal. I was not upset about it because the orangutan was terrible at his job. With that being said, the Indianapolis Colts are the hottest team not only in the AFC South, but the entire NFL. A young nucleus surrounding the Stanford nerd Andrew Luck. Two All-Pros were drafted last year, 10 this year. And with the 89th pick of the 2019 NFL Draft, the Indianapolis Colts, Jim Irsay, and Chris Ballard select future Hall of Famer, linebacker from Stanford, Bobby Okereke.
He's good.
Bravo, bravo. Now, we learned at the Super Bowl when we became buddies with Pat McAfee that he has done stand-up comedy for like an hour and a half at a time. I mean, he is a man who loves the stage.
No, he does. He does. He's a WWE guy as well. He's done some announcing for them. He's multi-talented. He's a Renaissance guy.
He's a Renaissance guy. He is so full of personality. He smiles the whole time. He wanted your red sweater.
Yes, I remember. He kept staring at my red sweater.
He was going to trade you for his Buffalo Wild Wings ripped sleeve hoodie. Sleeveless ripped sleeve hoodie.
Let
me tell you, he's got some guns for a punter. My gosh.
And I didn't have the guns to make the shirt trade with him. I kept my sweater on and covered up my guns.
You did. But let's also say yay for that pick by the Colts. I love me some Bobby Okereke out of Stanford. He is a fantastic linebacker from the home of intellectual vitality entering the NFL.
All right.
Good pick. Great
Say
pick.
That again. Bobby Okereke.
Look at you, show off.
Finally, I get a name right.
Yep.
Yes, the crowd loves
Jose.
It. They're going crazy.
He practiced in Nashville.
Yeah, I did. Okay. There was tension between the Clippers and the Warriors in their series. This is the last round in the NBA playoffs. Despite losing the series in six, Patrick Beverley and Lou Williams had a lot of good things to say about Kevin Durant.
We didn't roll over. And we didn't just say, hey, man, you know what? Just come on, give us 50 tonight. Of course not. You know, he's a hell of a player. The shots he took, you know, he made some tough shots.
We tried everything. All right. So we tried everything. We had several different coverages for KD. And
they didn't work.
Dude, yeah, like sometimes you come across special people. And it doesn't matter what you send to them. It's no scheme. It's no it's no nothing that you can do with special people. He's one of them, and he showed it tonight. He put them guys on his shoulders. And even the game that he came out, he was like, I'm Kevin Durant. Y'all know who I am. And that's a bold statement to make when you're about to go see some guys that's extremely competitive. And he came out that game, and he said, I can really shoot over these guys. And he did it. So it wasn't lack of effort on our part. He's an all-world professional, and he proved himself. He proved exactly who people think he is, who he think he is himself, and he did it. And you tilt your hat off to a guy like that.
Class personified. I want to contrast this press conference where Patrick Beverley and Lou Williams are going home at the hands of Kevin Durant and the Golden State Warriors. This is the end for them in this round. And Patrick Beverley and Kevin Durant were ejected game one. You know, technical's a whole thing for fighting with each other. This is absolute class. I mean, they are laughing. They are saying, they recognize his talent. They respect him. He's special. They called him an all-world professional. So if I'm a free agent, I'm looking at that saying, wow, these guys really can recognize talent, even in the face of being sent home for an early summer vacation. Whip on over to Russell Westbrook and Paul George in the little clown act of next question.
Next question. That's all he kept saying when he was asked questions, right?
They, too, were sent home in the first round.
Yep.
And look at the difference. If I'm a free agent, I'm going to LA Clippers. I want to play with guys like this. And Lou Williams, he's probably going to get sixth man of the year again. That guy is a star. Patrick Beverley, tough, tough kid from Chicago that plays lights out. They deserve to go on as much as anyone else. But, wow, love, love, love that. That should be the poster for the rookies entering the draft. This is how you recognize talent, and this is how you act after a tough loss.
Fair enough. All right, we're going to break, and when we return, we will check in with what we learned from the gloss over the last couple of hours on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, this hour of SB Nation Radio has been presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Okay, this is my favorite time of the show. I get to rehash what I've learned from the gloss for the last couple of hours. Let me offer a few of them to you. This is what I got out of you, okay?
Ready.
First of all, you think the Texans' pick of Tytus Howard in the first round, though you were slow to warm up to it, you feeling better about it now?
Lance Erline really explained a lot of it, and the more I'm reading about him, I'm warming up to him.
Okay.
He's a high-quality guy. And, you know, I hope it translates on the field, and I think it will.
The Clippers will be a good destination for free agents this offseason.
Yes, I love to see Kawhi there.
Gettleman blew it with the number six pick in Daniel Jones.
Big time.
That was a mistake.
No matter what smoke and mirrors he's throwing up.
And finally, the Rockets need to focus more on shooting and less on the officiating.
Yes, you gave them that tip.
Alex Gold coming up next. It's the Gold Standard. Be sure to listen to him coming up next here on SB Nation Radio.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.